Rastatu was der Leib Lichtat, der Kalim Achpia, hat Chakpe mir Tschalil. Und Petu Yamini Tschalil, Tschimakata Wahina. Woja, Kema Zublak. Naha, Inish Nakum Wotchai. Naha, Ohinia, Lelakhota, Yapikile, Yuaglak. Und Tschaya Tona Anarob, dann kam Hena Lila. Pilamaya. Naha, Wana Lichtat, Tuki, Ha, Huch, Wash, Yaglaki. Ja, Tanglapo. Und dann kam der Kili Radio Kille, Lelila, in Wopila, Echa, der Tonschka hört, der ist letztes Jahr. Ja, Kinder, Tiopa, ihr habt drei Hornblack, ich bin zwei Alila, Tam am Black. Und dann, ja, ja, in Annak, ja, wann er war Chipikte. Und dann kam, wann er lebt. The Oya Kilena Iha Wane Gilusta, which are Kanja Kilena Tiktek Tel Watrox Wain Sabula, which are Toksa and Ela Katha. The Hoya is Trash Lil Nakun Lil Vichinchala Naha Koskala Kaya Hip Chalanesha Wigla Kot. But another of Tankapo Naha Hila Pilamaya. Welcome to Kitty Radio Storytelling Hour, and this evening I'm up here with some, I would call them friends, co-workers, they come to help the Wounded Knee District School, so I will let them introduce themselves. And then this evening I have a story. When I come up here I always have one Iktomi story. And then I usually touch on the latest in education, and I always talk about the Lakota language, because the Lakota language is where my you can say activist, or I'm an advocator, and that is the reason why I am at Wounded Knee District School. So right now, before I forget, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves, and we'll start over here with Mike.
Hi, my name is Mike Lauer, and I am from Hutchinson, Minnesota.
My name is Sarah Miller. I'm from Meadville, Pennsylvania.
My name is Paul Scheidler, and I'm from Kokomo, Indiana.
And my name is Katie Heepner, and I'm from New Braunfels, Texas.
And then maybe later on you can tell us, like, if you went to college, or wherever you went to college. I know Katie's a teacher, I know Paul does. Maybe you can tell us what you do and after the story, okay? Because right now we'll do this story. This show is called Kili Radio Storytelling Hour. So I always have one story, both in the English language and in the Lakota language. And then usually we talk about it, see what, because a long time ago, about this time in the evening, after we eat in our teepees, and we tell a story to our children. And remember this afternoon, I said we live our virtues, and we don't tell them that this is be good or you're doing bad, but I live my virtues, and then they watch me, and hopefully they will carry on those virtues. And then that would tell a story, and then from that they can think about it, and see, and usually it's an Iktomi story. And Iktomi is a trickster. He's a wise person. When he's hungry, he will get it somehow. If he needs money, he will get it. He might talk you into giving him some money, and he usually gets it. So that's why we always use that Iktomi as a to learn to be careful. So we'll tell this one and see what we learn from here. So Sarah volunteered to read this. It's a short story, and it's about Iktomi. Well, go ahead and read it. Okay. We'll see. So we'll see how it goes. Okay.
Long ago, Iktomi crawled out of his den in a hillside on a fine, beautiful day and decided to take a walk. At the bottom of the hill, he came to a pond with sparkling blue water. He lay down on his stomach at the edge to take a drink. Suddenly, a face appeared below him, a familiar face, mimicking everything he did. If Iktomi raised his eyebrows, the face in the pond did the same. After several moments, he realized the face was his. Iktomi spent the rest of the day admiring his reflection. After the sun went down, he returned to his den. The next morning, the wind was blowing as Iktomi arrived at the pond. He was dismayed to find that his reflection in the water was distorted. As the day went on, the wind blew harder and Iktomi's image in the water didn't improve. Angry and confused, he stomped home. Bright and early the next morning, he awoke to a cold, rainy day. Nevertheless, he hurried to the pond. The reflection he saw in the water was nothing more than a shadow. Confused, he trudged back to his den. The following day, the rain had stopped, but dark clouds filled the sky. Iktomi saw his reflection in the pond, but it was a dark and angry face. He was about to slink away in anger when he heard a laughter. Fox was giggling at Iktomi's confusion. The fox explained, or tried to explain, that the images were different because of the wind, the rain, and the dark clouds. But Iktomi didn't listen, choosing instead to hang on to his anger and confusion. He never could figure out which of the reflections in the pond was really him.
So, hey, Iktomi, Iktomi wa ingalake. Ihani, ihani Iktomi toki tuktekta in Spana, chacha. Nihane lachte kikta, na peti ki lila washte. Na peti ki lila washte cha kuta ki amani ya. Chacha han hel blewa nyake. Na peti ki lila washte cha kele bleki le tchodna uyak pelake. Hel blaska yake. Na toki minyatke. Minyatke na hel chpain na uengelake. Uengelake anka vichasha lila toki ye he chinanchet. Vichasha lila washte cha uanke. Ila tchaha aigelut achpa. Ila to yokpi. Yokpi. Icha cha inch ya icha. Echpa hina watohan wana in. Toki lila yokpi china kigle. Pega ke ishtimin kacha. Lede. Tukte echpa kecha tahan. Tokhet kia kina cheche. Wana wima hia. Cha yunke. Ake hihani el kikta yung kahe hanish khate khate cha ash toki ila yuk chashni cha ake le kuta ke ayahe na blaska yung ke na wangila kong kha le vichasha wa ke wa he le khtale ha wa ke wa he ishni toki khate ki le mini ki le ka chan chan cha le Dila in Vichasha Watokesh ke chans e wang ke naish chint hape cha turna kua ta yesh nis ele jamin che cha cha lila igli chan zike lila yuk chan nan che cha cha hel chpa hi na ha lila chan zike o cha ke le chpa e wang hechit kia chan zike akigle Toki hampik ata yuk chan spa na cheche. Ake inhi anir kiktam na ha, ake toki lila yuk chan chan waengela kumkta cha. Ake kuta miling hechia I. He han is le apetu ki le lila osni, na maraj. Ata kuta ake inekhani na waengela kumkha, he han ake chi maraj na ha osni chan ke le waengela ke ki he Toki itana kholea wangila kama cheche. Ta hana wata igilu chan zeke. Zeke ta kwe le cha lo. He miyesh ni lo e china cheche. Wa ke toki imihash ni. Wa ke yunki na ha. Wa ke kiktana ekta kuita I. He hanish le wangila kong ha in. Wa ke lila chan zeke. Эхан ис то килила махпия. Та эхан виташа ванка килето кето ки савя кил ванка на чет. Лила юг тан цензеки на аташ и тахто хата тханш. Хачан тува и хатва. Тува и хатва ца и окшан кшето ха шун гилаг эца гилна и хатва. Энда укиака. Так вы это с Эвангелаки кие укиак. Укиак, или тхока Эвангелаки, а пеки маштена, а пеки маштеца. Не это мутама нигелаки лове. Он на кой махпия кие на кой хео. Только что влаки лове. Им смагажу кие. Вояж аташ анаху, потому что хеч на лилак шазек. Ухечеты. Ухеле. And the source of this story came from Walking with Grandfather by Joseph M. Marshall III. Okay, here's what I wrote down. Moral of the story. How do we live in two worlds? Sense of self-identity. And that people and circumstances would continuously try to change my sense of identity. And the best and only way to face that was to remember who I am. If we don't know who and what we are, we'll likely react like Iktomi when a reflection of ourselves gives us changes now and then. Unless we are aware that there is a basic core to who and what we are, we will see only the image that others see as us. That will cause us to be angry, frightened, and confused. So it's how you look at yourself every day. Like Iktomi saw himself on a clear, sunny day, so his reflection was nice and clear, happy. So he saw somebody handsome, probably. And the next time he went down there, it was, raining? Windy. So when it's windy, that water is shifting around, so you see somebody with a distorted face, so it wasn't him, so that made him angry. The next time he went down there, it was raining. And that made it worse, probably. And the last one, it was very cloudy, so it was just a shadow. And so he was confused. He confused himself. And that's Iktomi. Iktomi, we learn from Iktomi. Sometimes he does things like this. And I learn from this. Because I know who I am. I know where I come from. And I hope you guys do too. Iktomi sees his reflection there. Okay, now I have some announcements. I know school is out now, and we have a lot of activities. At Winnedney District School, we have youth works. And this year we added reading, because reading is very important. And Lakota language is very important, but reading is really important too. And math, right? But you do a lot of reading. So what we have going at the school is we have some students that come in for like the immersion Lakota. What we do is, what I see is that I wanted to just keep doing just maybe basically what I wanted. I want them to hear Lakota, whether it's just a word. And today we don't have those children that you see every day that. Sometimes, a lot of times, they don't hear Lakota every day. Even when they go home, nobody speaks Lakota at home. So, maybe the only time they hear Lakota is when they come to the school. Even if it's just the word, like today we have like Talo, I don't know what other words we have, Itazi, like that. And then, so, hopefully like tonight, tomorrow when they come back, they can remember those words, and then maybe they can put some thoughts, make those little words into thoughts. And I really appreciate what you guys are doing, all of you, Dylan, Mike, Sarah, Paul, and Katie. And then, here's another thing. Last year was the first time that we had, we call it immersion. It's not immersion. Immersion is when you have a total, it's a total immersion. Immersion means that when you come through that door, you speak nothing but Lakota. But that's hard to do, very hard to do. And last year we didn't have money at the school, and we didn't have gas. So what are we going to do? We sat there, we said, let's invite 12 students, the ones that I thought were very interested, the ones I thought were, if we keep teaching them Lakota, that they will be someday fluent in their first language. Like me, my first language Lakota and my second language English. But for those children, right now they're bilingual. And most of that bilingual language, just English, is probably 90%, maybe 99.9%. And the rest is Lakota. So that's why we decided to do that. But then the barrier was the mazaska. Mazaska is money and gas. So Cornell came along and he said, well, we'll pick up the children. And when the groups come in, there's always a van available to pick up the children. And then it was just like someone sent a driver. There's always a driver in one of those groups that's willing to just pick up children. And all you have to do is show that driver maybe a Monday morning on the run, and then that person will do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then Cornell, and then we had a teepee, but Cornell saw that, and you've seen that too. It was a really bulky teepee, and some of the poles were no good. So one day he said, how much is a teepee? So I said, I should have said 2,000, but I said 1,200. But anyway, we got a teepee, and I really appreciate that. And he bought it, the youth works bought that teepee. And then he said, we'll see if I can talk to the whoever has all that money, and said we'll get some stipend. And he did, and the supplies. So we're doing what we wanted to do. And it's not hard, it's not really hard. It's hard. Because sometimes a lot of these children will not come every day, but we're used to it. So if you're not used to it, you're going to see a lot of maybe confusion. Maybe one day, like if youth four were immersion students, one day maybe Paul won't be there. And maybe he went to town. Maybe Chick came in, so he had to go to town. And let's say maybe Sarah will be gone. But you know, that's okay. And this year last year we went until the second week in July. Right after, like next week is first week in July, and then the following week was we finished it. But this year we're going until August 2nd. I don't know if I can last that long. I might be gone after two weeks. So Well, you introduced yourself, so tell me the way you went to school, and then later on, let's talk about youth works.
Okay, I'm Mike, and I study music at Minnesota State University Moorhead, and I will be a senior next year.
Oh, that's good.
I am a senior at Slippery Rock University in Pennsylvania, studying psychology and nonprofit leadership.
I am going to Anderson University, and I am studying biology with plans to go to medical school.
And I went to Texas State University, and I was an education major, and I am a kindergarten teacher now.
That's good. Where's Texas State University?
It is in San Marcos. It's south of Austin, where the capital is.
Okay. That's good. And how did you get into youth works? Is that anybody tell?
Well, I went on youth work trips, mission trips, as a high school student, and so when I had summers free, being a teacher, I needed something to do, and youth works just was the place where I needed to be.
I have the same reason. I did youth works as a high school student and decided to apply to be on staff.
I think Paul is the only one who had a unique story about working for youth works.
Well, I actually applied for an internship that I did not receive for some unforeseen reasons. And so one of my friends sent me a message and said, hey, you should apply for youth works. And I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking there's, you know, that's the last thing that I would ever picture myself doing. Like, I always joke that I would have worked for, like, White Castle before I worked for youth works. And after some more thought, I was like, you know, why not? It's a good opportunity to grow. So I applied at 1:30 in the morning that night. And here I am.
Here you are in Manderson.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys came, and this group here, if I was in youth works, I would wanna, like, on weekends I would go to Crazy Horse or Rapid City, but this group here, they stay around, and they're very dedicated. Is that why you stay around, or do you have to stay around?
No, we don't.
No.
Oh, okay. If you can, like, on weekends, you can do whatever you want. Yeah. And how do you reading? Like, Katie's a teacher, and working with schools, I always see I always hear maybe. We need to get up to a level, or maybe like a sixth grader is reading at a second grade level, or maybe an eighth grader is reading at fifth grade level. Now, for me, nobody ever maybe tested me, so maybe I'm reading at second grade level or fifth grade, I don't know. I don't read books through my ears. I like to read newspaper, and the first thing I check is the sports, and then who dies in the area, and then who's in jail, and the rest of it I just throw away. And then, like, in the library, in high school, in my grade school, I read a lot of comic books, Lone Ranger and all those guys, Roy Rogers, and then I had a then in my eighth grade I read all those Jim Bridger and Daniel Boone. They usually have like a set of books. And if you read one every week, then every week you get a free pass to the movies. So that's why I read them. But here's the thing too. This is kind of hard to say, but it's true. And that's, I'll say it, that Isaac went through that, because when I was growing up, I didn't have a place to read. Everybody was in the same room. So studying was really hard, even in my high school. In high school, my mother raised me, and I can't remember reading in my where I sleep. But I was invited to a church. It was a Methodist church. He said, why don't you come to the church and study downstairs? So I did. And I had a lot of room down there, so I did that. So maybe it is hard. In some places it's hard because they just don't have a place to, maybe there is no books too. Where would you keep the books? But today it's different. That was my time. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Today we have all these books, like where we work right now. There's all kinds of books. Paul likes all my books. He's really interested.
See how many I can fit on the plane on the way home.
So the question is, how do you, did anybody ever test you, or did anybody tell you, okay, you need to get your reading up, or... No? So you guys are all good readers then. Sarah's a good reader. Katie's a good reader. Yeah. Paul's a good reader. Mike's a good reader.
I remember being tested in elementary school, but that's it.
So how do you, Katie's a teacher. Say you have 20 students or 15 students, how do you, one and one, you'll always have one or two or three that will be behind. Mm-hmm. Oh, so what do you do with them?
Well, in Texas, in our classrooms, we break up our groups, like our students into groups. There'll be reading groups in levels, and then you can read with a group of students rather than reading one-on-one, so that you can be reaching more than one student at a time. Or you can have students who might be reading on a higher level read to a student who might be on a lower level, and it also helps the lower level reading student to see like a peer of their own age reading on a higher level, and it motivates them to want to read more, stuff like that.
What about you, Paul? You never run into that problem reading? Do you read a lot?
I would say I read more than the average person, but not. Yeah. I wouldn't say a lot. Uh-huh. But growing up, I mean, I went to a school that was kind of different from most schools. Like we had, I guess you could call it our own curriculum. Uh-huh. Like, each person had, I guess, whatever they could choose, like, what they wanted to work on. And so I really liked doing, like, geography and, like, language stuff. So I would always read and work on my countries and capitals. So, yeah.
How about you, Sarah, in Slippery Rock?
Slippery Rock. I actually liked math and science more when I was in high school, but... reading was never my favorite subject, but it was something that you had to do to be good at other things, so just kind of had to suck it up, but, yeah.
I guess I read a lot. I always have a book that I'm reading, and I always have. My father was very vocal about the importance of being able to read, and had us reading literature, serious literature, when we were children. So it was never really an option not to be reading. And I guess I see the importance now that I'm older, and I'm really thankful that my parents really made reading a priority in our household. So when we walk into the reading classrooms, and for me, it's not necessarily about the kids who can't read, but it's really more about seeing them progress, and how exciting that is to see a child who may be slowly working their way through, but understanding that by the end of the summer they might be a level higher and closer to just a more understanding of anything they want to. When you can read, you can find out just about anything that you need to know. So that's why this year I'm really excited about the reading program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Like when we started out, I thought we were going to just have Lakota, and then Dylan, and then you guys came along, and they started talking about reading. And I think a lot of our children at the school really need to start reading so that they can get their, they call it level, get up to their level, and encourage them to read like you guys. That's why all those books are donated, but then some of those books that are donated are not really good, according to Paul here. So after he leaves, I might have to take him to another place, maybe file him somewhere. Maybe I'll ship them to Slippery Rock.
Yep.
But no, we really appreciate those books, and anybody can come in there and go through those books and take whatever they want. But I like to keep them too, because it makes it look like it is a library. It used to be a library, but we didn't have a librarian, so it was and it mixed up, but now it's beginning to look like a library, and we want to keep the good ones, all the reference books too. So we really appreciate people that donate books. It really helps the children. And so when they come in, like this week, the YouthWorks. They will be going how many weeks this year? We started on July 11th. And so we've been there this is our third week?
Yeah.
Yeah, third week, and then we have four or five, about 7 weeks this year, right?
Yeah.
And those 7 weeks, every week somebody different comes in, different people. Like the first one was... who were they anyway? Hastings?
Yeah, Hastings, Nebraska, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, that group was. And then last week, or was it last week, who were they?
They were from Oregon and Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Oregon and Wisconsin. And then this week, nobody came because I think we, it's very important that, was it Hanta virus or whatever you call it?
Yeah.
But I think we scared them away. Who was supposed to come?
I don't know.
We don't know. And then next week will be, we don't know who's going to be here. Yeah. But anyway, there's going to be somebody different coming every week. And the reading and the Lakota classes, and Katie's doing a real, all of you are doing a good job, and Katie is too. And Katie's the the boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they come in, how many read so far? How many people do reading? All of them? All the students that come in?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have even these students that come in for the immersion, they go into reading too, right?
Yeah.
Because the first hour or two.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's good. Everybody gets to read.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, we try to have a cultural presentation. That's hard to do. And then on Thursday nights, they usually have a cookout for the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
And all you listeners out there, especially in Manderson and Wounded Knee, on Thursday nights they have a cookout. And Paul's the cook, right? Oh, who's the cook?
I do the grill. If an adult leader doesn't want to.
Well, Kitty, you better help him.
No, I'm not a griller. I'm in the kitchen making pasta salad.
Yeah. Michael, help me.
Okay. Yeah. But the parents can come and from the community, and usually they start about 5:30.
Six o'clock.
Okay, so remember that out there, if you're listening. 6 o'clock Thursday evening,
mm-hmm.
Not this Thursday. This week there will be no cookout. So,
but next Thursday.
Because nobody came this week, but next week at 6:30 come. Okay, and now another thing is going on. And this is not to really be negative, but we have a lot of other buses around, and they're all doing a good job, because summertime, our children, we have, it's different, like it's different from Austin, Pennsylvania. Where you have summer activities, you can go to swimming, you can go to a soccer game, things like that. But here, there is no swimming pool. There is no, and a lot of times there's no McDonald's here, so you can't work at McDonald's or a bowling alley. So what are we going to do? And that's where maybe a lot of these people pick up the children. At least, like, when I left the school, I saw people playing horseshoes out there by that church. And I don't know who's running that. I didn't see no bus there. But that's good, right? Because it's the evening, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's nice and cool out there, and there's a lot of people out there throwing horseshoes. I didn't see no food there, but at least they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we have the Dream Center from past that visitor center.
Yeah.
They have a bus, and then we have the one from Tennessee. So, but sometimes we run into each other, and that's the thing. Maybe then we need to communicate somehow, right? Because, like, say Paul's from Tennessee, he'd be taking some of our reading students. Sarah might take some of my immersion students. Mike might take some. And then I'll be there with just two students. And then all of a sudden, they won't feed them lunch, and they'll just dump them off at the school, and then I will be totally confused. So it's hard. It's hard. It's really hard. So that happened to us. So, you know, everybody's doing what they... they have a kind heart, and they're trying to help people. But sometimes we run into each other. But we do have plans too. We have plans for the children that really need reading. We have plans for children for Lakota. Lakota is really important. So maybe in the future, everybody, some like maybe Manderson or somewhere, they should have to sign in and say, okay, here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be feeding breakfast, we're going to have activities for them, and then we'll take them to the summer kitchen in Manderson. And then, see, we will be looking out for them, right? Instead of 11:30 or 12, 20, 30 students will come in, and it's hard because you're not expecting them. But we're not saying that we're fighting over students. And that's good, though, if we are, because all these children will need something to do during the summertime. And, like, Youth Works is going until August 2nd. And then, so, after August 2nd, they'll only have, like, 10 days off, and then school starts August 13th or 14th. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty good. I really, really appreciate that. Anything else that I missed? The reading program, the immersion program, and your help. I think you might call that collaboration, right? We work together. And, so it's okay. And, maybe sometimes I say things wrong because I'm older than all of you, and maybe I grew up on a different road. But deep in my heart, I really appreciate all of you for your help. And I know Mike from last year, so I know how he's a good singer and good cook. And now I'm beginning to know all of you, Sarah and Katie and Paul, Cornell. And I know Marnie is really happy about it. And I know Marnie sometimes, that's a hard job, but she has a hard job because she gets chewed out every day. But we survive. We're survivors. And for me, with my age and my language, I advocate in Lakota language, so that's why I volunteered last year. I didn't know money, but that's okay. It's okay. It's all right, because I wanted these children to hear that Lakota language. And just like we read that story in Lakota. And at least tonight, someone heard that story in Lakota. And maybe somebody's laughing out there. And they're like Iktomi stories. So I want you listeners to let me know if you want to hear, I have a lot of Iktomi stories, and then I have some Wichakpi stories too. There's star knowledge stories too. So. And then I don't have any, I don't tell jokes on the air. I just the Iktomi stories. So if we have anything else, we have about 5 more minutes. Even though a lot of my my target students don't come, it's okay, because like Lovletta, and there's Anthony and Caden. Those guys, I'll mention those names, because usually I don't say names on the air, but there's students out there that if they keep hearing the Lakota language, they're going to put those little sentences together, and they're going to start talking to me. But I told Marnie that when they said that we want to start a Lakota language project, and the school board wanted to do that too, because we all know we keep hearing this. There's I have a cousin that I come up here on Saturday mornings, and he really advocates the Lakota language, and we don't want to hear we're dying, the language is dying. We're doing everything we can to revitalize it. We're trying to pass my Lakota language to those, especially the kindergarten students, the first grade students, and so they can just keep talking for the next. And also today. Even though we weren't really serious, or remember the hand games, those are games that they call them Lakota games, and those games are like today when we start. We have. If you ever see a game like that in when they play each other, then they always start with a prayer in Lakota and the Azilia, everybody, and then they tell them that what that game does, and what that game does is it brings people together, and then it brings that competitiveness, so that you learn to be competitive. You always want to win. You know, it's just like basketball, football. So that game teaches you that. And it's a Lakota game. So there's a lot of little things like that we show these young children, and hopefully they will pick it up. And there's always rules to those games too. And then it teaches them that somebody is going to win and somebody is going to lose. And when you lose, that you shake hands and be a good loser. Yeah. Don't go away mad. So I'm really glad that YouthWorks is here. And then what does that say, YouthWorks? Where did it originate? Or what is it, the main, is there like a mission statement or something like that? Is that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe Sarah can read it.
So YouthWorks, like their main purpose is just to provide like life-changing Christ-centered mission trips. The programming for the mission trip experiences are usually targeted for the needs and capabilities of youth ages 12 to 19. So all of our participants are high school age or middle school. Mm. But participants have the opportunity to live out the love of Christ by serving others. And through this process of serving, relationships are formed. We believe that it's in real friendship that we're given and received without demeaning each other or stripping one another of dignity. So there's 72 sites across the United States, Canada,
72?
And Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. It's big.
And this is going on all over the country right now.
All over the United States.
Yeah. There's a couple in Canada and then one in Puerto Rico. So.
Oh. That's good. Chaton na na ofta na kaha me na lichta atu kaham. Ata kuku lechi awai awahi na ha iwagala me ya kaham. Ona ha wakanja kile na chat le wayawa pikile wayawa pikile lehan we chong kile takomne le taku yawa pikile na iuchai tha. Acha wahane acha oi chung kia huh watoha wayawa pik. Nahuk akhe kitala ganas tuchela naje. Nahuk akhe makatia naje. Tawahena. Pada naku ohe niang le lakota iya pikile. Le lakota iya pikile chanaka. Ampetu yo hila lakota iya pi wanji uchwake. Aba nanak on ang ganat hokata ke lakota iya pikile gulaha iya pi wanji. Achata na na rupu na kabe na iu halila pilama ya pi. Na kule kiri radio kile na kule la wopila e chake. Na troshkale chi na chake chake tru ya. Vili la pilama ya la troshka. Na toksha ake le ta apetu yamine ke ake wa una uya kumjubla. Washte ya lo. Wachit.